Thank you, and thanks for inviting me on.
So tell us, this is obviously quite wide scale. What kind of numbers are we talking about at the rates of activists that are getting killed?
In total, since 2002, more than 1,700 activists have been killed, and those numbers have been increasing. The last couple of years, we've been looking at around 200 people being killed each year. And you mentioned that they're environmentalists. They're not actually, that might seem like they're environmental activists, as in that's what they do for a living. They're not all of them. They can be peasants or land workers or indigenous communities or journalists or lawyers. They're just people defending their livelihoods and defending their environments.
Do you know why it's becoming increasingly dangerous for environmental activists?
So it's probably a combination of the numbers are in fact increasing. And one of the issues we have with getting hold of the data is that it's probably underreported. So the numbers are probably actually higher because a lot of these things are happening. These incidents are happening in remote places, and they might not be reported. But also because there is increasing pressure on natural resources and globalization is increasing. So the threats are becoming greater.
So who is generally targeting them? Is it governments or is it particular private groups or gangs?
It's a mixture. So, for example, in Brazil in 2017, there was a massacre of 10 land defenders, and it's actually the local police who carried that out, that murder. In Cambodia, there have been a few incidents of the military actually murdering people who've been trying to stop illegal logging. And in other cases, it can be people who are actually engaged in the environmental in the natural resource extraction. For example, in Brazil last week, some gold miners actually killed an indigenous community leader as they wanted to come in and access the land to do mining.
And so are there particular areas where these killings are mainly taking place at the moment?
Before last year, Brazil had the greatest numbers most years. Last year, the Philippines actually overtook that with more killings. And we see it happening in places which are quite rich in natural resources in terms of forest or land or mineral deposits, for example. But mainly what we found when we did an analysis trying to correlate the numbers of killings with how those natural resources were distributed, it was actually the level of corruption of a country or the rule of law that was the most important aspect that matched with the killings.
So you're saying that there's a definite correlation between the corruption, lack of transparency,
right,
and the amount of these killings of environmental activists?
That's exactly right, yes. And that's why we call for transparency and ethical processes along the whole supply chains of these resources or products that are being extracted in one place and then consumed and sold in other places.
So tell us, what can be done to deal with this violence? Would there be ways of, say, funding watchdog NGOs in some of these countries? Would there be other ways of sort of making these activists more safe? I mean, just ordinary villagers to be able to sort of speak out about environmental issues?
Exactly, yes. Those are both good options. Another thing that we could, raising awareness is probably an important thing. Lots of people weren't really aware of this happening. And as consumers in wealthy countries, we can certainly make sure that anything we buy that has come from elsewhere has been sourced sustainably or ethically. We can talk about putting some kind of international legislation in place that ensures that products or resources that have been extracted and then sold have been done so in the proper way. There's an example of that with, I don't know if you've heard of the forest certification for timber products. And so you can go and buy timber or wooden products, whatever, furniture, and if it's stamped with an FSC stamp, then you know it's been sustainably sourced. The problem with that one is that it's a voluntary opt-in thing for different forestry organisations to do that. But that kind of thing can work and can work quite effectively.
What about naming and shaming the biggest perpetrators? I mean, is it also up to sort of a sort of government on an international level to really put pressure on some of these governments on a human rights level?
Well, yes. Yes, it is up to the international community to put pressure. But in many cases, the companies that are exploiting the resources are from other countries that are wealthy and powerful, and not actually where the resource extraction is taking place. So, you know, people aren't necessarily going to be interested in damaging their profit margin. But what we think is that companies that are actually profiting from natural resources that are extracted under conditions that disregard the rights of these environmental defenders are complicit in driving violence through the supply chains, and we think it's their responsibility to act ethically.
Okay, well, thank you for being on the show. That was Dr. Natalia Butt, a laureate postdoctoral research fellow at the University of Queensland.